Getting there on time just isn't good enough. Traffic and weather on the 10s with Wills and Snyder in the morning on WTAM 1100, Cleveland's News Radio.
Friday's deal from Matt Granite, Channel 3's Morning News, Wills Ways to Save, WTAM.com, keyword save. Click on, see the video, and get some savings here, Matt.
Dull knives are dangerous. Sharp knives, your best friend in the kitchen. Great to be with you. Yeah, I know y'all recognize the Cuisinart, and I know you've all seen this at prices that surpass $250 to $300. This lifetime warranty, holiday ready deal that I hunted down. It's also approved by one of my favorite chefs.
Hey, Matt, thanks for sending me this knife set to test out here. You know, I've worked with the Cuisinart knives before and have tested them, I believe, one or two times. Man, I gotta tell you, big fan. Fan of the quality, and I know the cost has gotta be phenomenal if you send it to me. Razor sharp. I would put these right in the dishwasher. I don't know if you're supposed to or not, but man, I'd go right in the dishwasher with these. Makes clean up a breeze, stays sharp for a super long time. You know, if it needs a little honing though, you're good to go. Love it.
15 pieces under $70. This item, which is not a paid product, on our website. All the links you need for today's deal and bargains beyond. Happy savings. Back to you.
Good deal. Yeah. Good knife set. WTAM.com. Keyword save. Watch Granite on Channel 3 this morning. And back here same time Monday with some more savings for you.
Cleveland's Morning News with Wills and Snyder.
With Game 6 tonight in Houston, it's Verlander against Sever. After that World Series is completed, Indians will have to decide whether to pick up Michael Brantley's option for $11 million. He underwent surgery on his ankle this week and won't be able to resume baseball activities for 4 to 5 months. That means he could miss the early part of the upcoming season. So what do the Indians do? Brantley's been really hobbled with injuries the last 2 years, shoulder, now the ankle. It's a tough call for the Tribe to make, and they're going to have to make it very soon. Also in baseball, Tigers hire former Twins manager Ron Gardenhire to be their guy in the dugout. Browns host the Titans Sunday. The losing certainly is getting to everybody, but as linebacker Christian Kirksey puts it,
spirits still up. You know, 6 games. Can't get them back. We got to move forward, so there's no time to be sitting there moping around.
Browns-Titans Sunday at 1. An opportunity is there. The Titans are an average team coming off of a Monday night game. Will this be the week? Monday night football. Boy, it came down to this between the Raiders and Chiefs. Final play of the game.
Crabtree and Roberts go left. Amari right. One-on-one with Marcus Peters. Derek going to roll left. Derek throws for the end zone, and it is caught.
Yeah, there have been 3 plays prior to that. There were flags on them. 1 offensive interference that negated a touchdown, then 2 defensive penalties, and then the Raiders would make the point after to win 31-30 over the Chiefs. Home of the Indians and the Cavaliers, Mike Snyder, News Radio WTAM.
Stories out of Washington. Joe Gomez joins us this morning on News Radio WTAM 1100. Morning, Joe.
Good morning.
All right, first, late last night, Senate Republicans passing a budget. I would note the stock market must like this. Futures look higher. What's all this mean?
Well, the Senate passed a budget resolution last night that clears the way for tax reform. And Republicans all voted for it, with the exception of Rand Paul. And they've also added a language in this budget resolution that allows for the budget to avoid a conference committee, so it can be reconciled with the House very quickly. The House can just pass the Senate's version, and then off we go. Once they get a tax reform bill out of the House next week, they can attach that to the budget and then have a vote on it. So things are looking pretty optimistic on that path.
I think I heard Rand Paul say he didn't like the extra to the deficit. The debt, I think they're talking like $1 trillion over 10 years or whatever. But, Joe, nobody seems to worry about that anymore. I mean, it's just, you know, we just merrily we move along. But you're right about tax reform. I guess even Trump tweeting last night, look, you get this budget done, now we can roll some tax reform. And as I say, the stock market evidently likes that news.
Well, yeah, I mean, the whole point of really passing the budget resolution was to try to use the reconciliation language that was used under Obamacare to try to get tax reform passed on a purely party line vote. So Republicans have a real chance of getting this done if they can get all of their members to vote for it. Obviously, Rand Paul voted against the resolution. Once the final tax bill comes out and it's attached to the budget, you could see some other defections as well, because some fiscally minded conservatives believe that this is going to just add to the deficit and it's not going to create any kind of a deficit neutral ultimate product.
Speaking of former President Obama, saw him out on the campaign trail, I think. What, New Jersey, Virginia, trying to help governors?
Yeah, he was campaigning both in New Jersey for the Democrat gubernatorial candidate there. And in Virginia, he made a couple of jabs at Trump while not actually mentioning Trump. He talked about how we've got folks who are deliberately trying to make people angry, to demonize people. He also said that that we're going back in time. This is the 21st century, not the 19th century. And then former President George W. Bush also breaking his silence, coming out at a forum in New York where he talked about the degrade of discourse and it becoming casual cruelty. Also talked about bullying and prejudice in our public life and how that sets a national tone. So both former presidents, while not mentioning Trump, certainly alluding to him, it seems.
Interesting. A little more tension the next time they're all together for some event, I'm guessing. Yeah. All right. Your weekend, anything big going on for you in D.C.?
Well, you know, in D.C., there's a big fall fest here. Oh. A lot of folks are, you know, in this part of the country, there's a lot of, you know, apple picking and mm-hmm. apple cider get-togethers yeah. and pumpkin picking and all that stuff. You see the right. leaves turn, so... A lot of fun, I think, anticipated.
All right. You relax, enjoy, get some rest back Monday morning, okay?
Okay, thanks.
News Radio WTAM 1100, this is Bill Wills. Movies for the weekend. Kevin Carr checks in from FatGuysTheMovies.com. Got some new ones out. Boo 2, A Madea Halloween. You got Geo Storm, Snowman, Breathe, Mark Feld, Only the Brave. Let me start with Only the Brave because this is a true story. Looks interesting. It plays out on the big screen. Josh Brolin, Jeff Bridges, tell me about it.
Yeah, it's a true story of firefighters fighting wildfires in Arizona, and it's about a group of firefighters who work hard to sort of independently get certified to be able to take on the fires head on, and it's them just engaging in the fires in the background of their lives. Like I said, it's based on a true story, so I can forgive a lot of sort of, you know, there's cliches, there's things you expect to see in a movie like this,
right.
but you're dealing with real life people and you're dealing with real stories, so it's really not cliche if it's really happening. But it's effectively done. It looks good on the big screen. And it is powerful. So if you want to sort of honor, real American heroes, this is a way to do it.
Jennifer Connelly also in this role, right?
Yeah, she plays Josh Brolin's character, the wife of Josh Brolin's character. But also really good cast. Also, you got Miles Teller in there. It's a good group of people.
Only the Brave out this weekend. Kevin Carr is at FatGuysTheMovies.com. That's a PG-13, by the way. Okay, let's move on to The Snowman. Tell me about this.
This is based on a Norwegian thriller, and it takes place obviously in Norway, in Oslo. It's about a serial killer who kills women and leaves a snowman, and sort of has that creepy sort of, you know, symbols along with it. It's very Norwegian in the sense that it's very bleak and it's very heavy. If you've watched Norwegian movies, I mean, it's in English, but it it does have that heaviness. Now the serial killer parts I found interesting to it. It does get a little bit convoluted of trying to bring in all the different side stories from the book, where you have these different characters and their backstories, and it sometimes gets a little confusing, and that wore on me quite a bit. But there are some decent performances by people like Michael Fassbender and Rebecca Ferguson and J.K. Simmons, so it's got a lot of people involved in it.
All right, so if you were scared by a clown, are you scared by a snowman in this thing?
It's not nearly as scary as mm-hmm. It Clown. Pennywise mm-hmm. has got a lot on this guy.
Kevin Carr, FatGuysTheMovies.com. One more, and this has some history to it. Tell me about Mark Felt.
Yes, the full title is Mark Felt, the man who brought down the White House. And if you don't know your history, this is the guy who worked at the FBI back during the Nixon administration, who essentially is deep throat, leaking the information of what was going on with Watergate to the press, and in an effort to get independence of the FBI from the White House, and sort of you see it all from within the FBI, from Felt's character's point of view, as you know, the different people are trying to exert control and cover things up and distract and move around.
Mm-hmm.
Especially this is interesting for people who are either too young to remember it or weren't alive during it, who weren't paying attention to it as it unfolded in the news. Also some parallels to stuff going on right now. So it is an interesting look at American history at a somewhat dark time.
Look, one of the best movies ever. I always enjoy All the President's Men, Hal Holbrook and so many in that movie. So this is Deep Throat's story, really, that we didn't see play out on the big screen at that point.
Yeah, if you've seen All the President's Men, you saw it from Woodward and Bernstein's point of view. This gives it to you from the inside of the FBI.
Look forward to it. Only the Brave, Mark Felt, Breathe, The Snowman, a few of the movies we talked about. You can see more when it comes to movie reviews and movie news if you check Kevin's website, fatguysthemovies.com. Kevin Carr, seeing the popcorn line this weekend. Thanks, pal.
All right, we'll talk to you later.
Cleveland's Morning News with Wills and Snyder every Friday. Terry Pluto, Cleveland Plain Dealer, Cleveland.com, checks in on our teams. Graduate Benedictine, 8-time Ohio Sports Writer of the Year, our Friday chat brought to you by Universal Windows Direct. Morning, Terry.
Hello, Mr. Will.
Before we get to our Browns, gentlemen, let me go back to the Cavs home opener, Mike Snyder and Terry Pluto. Terry, you wrote some scribbles, Cleveland.com, Plain Dealer. James plays 41 minutes, probably more than a regular, I don't know if there's a regular season game, but they really wanted that win the other night, right?
Yes, they did, and especially LeBron wanted that win, and without a word, LeBron wanted to send a message to Kyrie Irving, which was like, I am LeBron, these are the Cavaliers, and you're not. And I also thought it was significant the next night against Milwaukee when Boston played. Kyrie Irving was 7 for 25 from the field.
Yeah, they've and now, of course, with the injury to Hayward, a lot of focus on him. It was kind of funny. I was looking up because all this hype about Lonzo Ball, and he had 3.4 rebound, 3.4 assist game. LeBron's very first game. When you think of it, 15 years ago, he played 42 minutes, played 41 last night, and his first game, he had 25 points, 9 assists, 6 rebounds, 4 steals. He's a force of nature, isn't he, Terry?
Was that game in Sacramento or Phoenix?
Sacramento.
Right, because I went on that trip, and I know that was back-to-back, and I was sitting there going, my goodness, this kid's... And he was like 19 at that point, and it was a game where there wasn't a lot of defense played, but frankly, the other night, I did watch part of the Lakers and Clippers. Patrick Beverley guarded Ball, but there wasn't a lot of defense in that game either, and... he's got a long way before he gets anywhere near to be mentioned like LeBron James, because as you mentioned, LeBron came right out of the gate and threw in 25 or whatever it was.
Yep. It was 9 assists. I mean, it was amazing. Hey, Terry, a couple of things here. I know you got a piece up on...
And he got to play with like guys like... That team was bad.
Oh, jeez.
Oh, Lord. Yes. I think Ricky Davis was still on that
Yeah,
team,
right. Right. Oh, it was a bad team, and there he was. And Sacramento was not a bad team that year, actually, if I'm not mistaken. Hey, Terry, I know you got a piece up there. I'm watching these baseball playoffs,
yes.
And just wondering, and your piece about Corey Kluber, what happened? I think we all wonder what happened.
To me, it remains a mystery because there is nothing to indicate that he was, quote, losing his arm slot because suddenly he forgot how to pitch or whatever. I mean, here's a guy in those last night starts allowed only 2 runs or fewer. Month of September, he allowed 6 runs in the whole month of September. You know, so, yes, he probably was throwing differently, and that a lot meant his pitches flattened out, but I still think there was something physically wrong with the guy, and they could say whatever they want. But usually when a great player has a couple of games like that on a big stage, and also that great player had been very good in postseason the year before, there's a reason for it.
Terry, quickly, Brantley, will you pick up his option?
No.
All right.
Pretty quick.
No, I would try to do one of those incentive laden contracts. I mean, think about this, Mike. It's $12 million. I'm guessing the Indians' payroll will come in around 130 or so next year. Do you really give almost 10% of your payroll to him?
Yeah, it's a tough call, but you know, I mean, the free agency though with Bruce and Santana,
Snyder had me talked into it earlier. Now maybe I'm second guessing here.
But I'm just saying that if the ankle looks like it's the last thing,
right.
He's a heck of a hitter.
Yes, he is. But that you're talking about three surgeries in 2 years.
Yeah.
Ankle, bicep, shoulder. Not that you use any of those when you play baseball.
All right.
Figured, you know. And I love Michael Brantley, by the way, but boy, it almost was a little bit like Grady Sizemore-ish, where it seems like he's having a hard time getting healthy.
Terry Pluto, Cleveland Plain Dealer, Cleveland.com. Follow him on Twitter. Good piece. Always Sunday, Saturday, we'll look for the Faith column as well. Terry, thanks, partner. Be good.
All right, take care. I want to still, since it's the middle of October, I want to hang on to optimism and hope. And, yeah, you're right. I definitely didn't want to see an 0-6 start to this season like last season. But I want to hold on to some optimism, hold on to some hope that, you know, we could start, you know, getting some wins. You know, Marcus Mariota is not playing at 100%. They played a Monday Night Football this past week. They're showing they're a pretty decent to pretty good football team, but they are banged up. And coming off a short week and traveling, maybe I'm grasping at straws, but I'd still prefer to be grasping at those straws right now with still 10 games to go.
I hear you, Bernie. You know, it does look like this sets up as an opportunity, at least. And historically, it shows you that when you have that quick turnaround for teams that have played on that Monday night, that extra day, I guess maybe to the average fan, Bernie, may not mean as much, but you having lived it and played it, when you go from a Monday to a Sunday as opposed from a Sunday to Sunday, that extra day can mean a lot, can't it?
Absolutely. And again, I'd rather be in Miles Garrett's side of recovery towards getting and his goal towards getting towards 100% on the field. Him having the extra week and him having the week or the extra day and then having the time at home where he can get treatment on Saturday also, whereas Marcus Mariota is going to have to travel, get up in a plane. Be in another state in a city where his kind of routine is going to be a little different. He won't be able to get as much rest, as much treatment on his injuries. And again, you don't want to bank on winning games because you're hoping on guys aren't going to play to their maximum, their inability to maybe get out there. That's not the goal you want to have. But bluntly, when you're 0-6, you're really going to grasp at anything you can.
The Browns right now, when you're 0-6 and where they've been, their recent history, already rumors are starting out about this going on in the organization, what's not happening, and so forth. And you talk about in your book, though, everybody does need to be together. This is really an ultimate test for those that are there now, isn't it, to hang in there? Because this stuff is going to continue to come.
Yeah, it's a very astute point by you. And anything in life, Coach Snellenberger, Jimmy Johnson, you know, they used to talk to me, Don Shula, about the importance of anything you want in life that's great, anything that's fun, that's cool, that everybody wants, everybody's going to be striving for, and it's not going to be easy. And there's going to be bumps in the road. There's going to be adversity. There's going to be other people trying to bip in and take what you think could be yours. And it's imperative that you have a kind of an iron will, a goal. And when you're struggling at points like this, again, at 0-6, there's going to be people at the gates, kind of people at the doors, banging on it, knocking, being critical. And this is when it's even more imperative that you kind of rally the troops, kind of close the doors, and you realize who's on your team. And this is the most, I think, paramount time in a crisis, where you really just have to take care of what you could do today, make sure you get better. And Max,
as always, appreciate your time. We'll talk again next week.
Awesome.
You're a big fan of the Rock Hall, member, of course.
Absolutely.
Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. We've got the voting underway.
All right.
For the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, I have an update. 9 out of the 19 nominees on the ballot for the first time, including the Eurythmics, Dire Straits, Judas Priest, of course. We can vote rockhall.com through 11:59, December 5th. And, of course, the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame inductions here. Okay, we have the top five right now. Dire Straits.
Good.
Is at number 5 right
okay,
now.
Okay, they're in the top 5.
Depeche
All right.
Mode. Current voting at number 3.
Uh-huh.
Believe it or not. Cars right now at number 2.
There
or
you
number
go.
3 on the list. And Kate Bush. Number 2 right now in voting for the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. And no surprise, leading the way. And this should be a no-brainer. I mean, Bon Jovi's in. I'll call it right. We're not even going to wait on the West Coast.
They're in.
I'm not even going to look at the Electoral College. Bon Jovi's in, I'll bet. They are leading the votes in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. Out of the top five, Eurythmics, Jay Giles, Judas Priest, LL Cool J. You know, the Moody Blues are like 11th or 12th here in voting right now. Zombies pulling up the
And they're room. Always one that's mentioned as to who's not, why are they not
exactly.
in.
Exactly.
Get out and vote.
Get out and vote. Rockhole.com, the website. Bon Jovi leading the way. 8:22, complete Cavaliers coverage. Bill Wills, Mike Snyder alongside. Your morning Cavs update this morning brought to you by Huntington, one a bank that believes in looking out for its customers. Welcome to Huntington. Cavs legend, former Laker, longtime NBA guy is Jim Jones. He'll join John Michael on the call tonight from Milwaukee. Morning, Jim.
Morning, guys. How you doing?
Good, buddy. Hey, the win the other night, I was at the game, lucky enough to be there, left halfway through the third quarter, got in a car, drove home because I get up early. Strange to hear John and you talk about Kyrie with the ball, and I thought that's not a good thing. So that sounded odd at first. And then third quarter, you made a real point about, hey, they're walking the ball up. You don't want to see that, especially this early in the year, Jim.
Well, you know what happens? They walked the ball up the floor because in the first half, they were able to push the ball and play at a fast pace. The Celtics made adjustments. They quit going to the offensive board. They were more concerned about getting five back in transition. Bill and Mike, in the type of game that's played today, transition offense becomes so important because it allows your shooters to get in open space. So what happens, the defense has to be now concerned about getting back on defense. You know, we talk about it, but never has it been so true. Transition defense, if you don't play it well, you're going to lose by 20. So everybody was pushing back on defense, and they were forcing us to play 5-on-5. And in doing so, it slows the pace of the game down. The great thing I thought Lou did, if these are the adjustments that he's going to have to make, he put his starting five back in the game. That starting five are veterans, big play guys, and they know how to get the job done. But the weakness of that starting unit had been their defense. But down the stretch, Bill, they outscored the Celtics 7-1 to close that game out. I thought it was a masterful move by Lou to go back with his starting guys and end that game.
Jim, they did finish it very well, as you mentioned. This is a different look to this team. We know there are a lot of new faces here. Really,
that's
a team
it, Bill. New look,
and really a team that was so reliant on the 3-point shot, not so at least early. What do you? How's that going to play out, Jim?
It'll play itself out, Mike. It'll play itself out. But right now, there's three things. Lou is coaching differently than he's ever had to coach because he's never been with a team with this much talent, even when he was with the Celtics. And in doing so, we're so talented that now we can play very similar to the way the Warriors play, and we can play the way LeBron played in Miami. With the help of Crowder and Jeff Johns and Jefferson and Green, they are able now to take that burden off LeBron, and almost let him freelance. He's got guys now who are very smart, just like they were in Miami. And what they're trying to do, guys, right now, Lou has got to coach differently, and he has. He's looking for ball handlers. He's looking for wing players. And he's looking for bigs just to maintain his stretch. That's a little bit different philosophy. That's why he was so apologetic to his players. Hey, guys, bear with me. This is going to take a while. This is a huge adjustment for him as a coach and a bigger adjustment for all the other guys. Now, LeBron's been playing like this all his life. The style of play that the Warriors are playing, LeBron's been playing that for 10, 11 years. You know, do everything. You know, create, score. You know, do all those things that are necessary to winning. Now we have that type of team because of the depth and the personnel by Kobe. Now we're going to see a different style of play. So don't judge them too early.
Yeah, and right, they are still looking at combinations that will work together because they really haven't had a lot of practice time together, Jim, because LeBron missed most of the camp. He's not been able to practice.
No, and that's been a thorn in our side, but I'm glad he's been able to get some rest. Because once again, he's going to have to carry us until all this works out. But I'm encouraged because of the IQ of the guys we now have. Jeff Green is a monster. We just got to keep him going. You know, Crowder, high IQ. You know, those are the kind of players you want. Dwayne Wade, high IQ. Derrick Rose, high IQ. All of those guys I mentioned have been in winning situations and know how to win. The secret is to develop a rotation that can get it done and get the right combinations on the floor at the right time. And that takes time. And once again, Mike, Lou is coaching differently than he's ever had to coach. You know, he's looking for ball handler, he's looking for wing players, and he's looking for bigs that can stretch the floor. That's a little bit different than coaching five positions. Now he's really coaching three. Mike, the switching on defense, the ability on offense to go inside, outside, the ability on offense to have five players on the floor that can make plays for themselves and someone else is almost totally different than the way he's ever had to coach before. A big challenge for him, but he's up to it.
Jim Jones will call it tonight with John Michael from Milwaukee. Our Window Nation Cavs Now with Nick Camino starts at 6. Cavs Bucks, 7 o'clock here. Back at the queue tomorrow night against Orlando. Catch it on News Radio, WTAM 1100, home of the Cavaliers. Jim Jones. Thanks, partner.
You're welcome.